Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Gwen Berry. I'm here once again with Jack Jodell in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I'm down here in South Florida. And this is the Sunday show on Here Be Monsters. This week and for the rest of the month, well, for the next 2 weeks, while time allows, we are going to be focusing a lot of our Here Be Monster shows on helping out the activist community down here who is working towards bringing the displaced and crisis-ridden families from environmental injustice and all of the poisoning and sickness that's going around, the lack of income from all of the environmental crisis in the Southeast, especially in the Gulf Basin. The name of the organization that is going to be diffusing community to community with community members from Project Bridge the Gulf. Different community members are going to be dispersing the funds and gifts to different, all kinds of different places along the Gulf Basin. And the whole coalescing organization is called A Frontline Holiday. And they've got their base on Facebook. And all you have to do is go on to Facebook. Most folks have an account. And or even just, you know, make up one for a day and get on there and put in a Frontline Holiday. You'll find it, and you can like the page and find out all the different stories. But we're going to bring them to you through Here Be Monsters. And today we have a lady, young lady, joining us at about another 10 minutes that I will call in, who's from the Houston area but is part of the Texas shoreline portion of this Gulf crisis. You know, Jack, Port Arthur, Texas, and all kinds of refinery on the edge of Texas. I mean, there's been times when Texas had nothing but crude washing ashore, you know?
Oh, man, yeah. Yeah, it's, the whole Gulf has been affected by that horrible oil spill and hurricanes and everything else. And it'll be very interesting to talk to some people from Texas as well. We've heard from people around in Louisiana, and we know on your side of the Gulf there, Florida, we've heard some accounts on how people have been affected adversely by the horrible oil spill and things like that. So it'll be kind of interesting to hear a little bit from the Texas side, the western end of the Gulf there. So.
Yeah, the official readout on this from A Frontline Holiday is they ask people on in the social networks to please share the links and the tags so that they can help to amplify the voices of and share direct aid to Frontline, Fenceline, and climate disaster affected communities today. Now the readout on this is, it goes on, please support Fenceline, Frontline, and climate disaster-affected communities who often disproportionately bear the burden of devastating health effects, severe poverty, and ecological destruction in their areas by sending a direct donation of gift cards, toys, and or food items on one of the below-listed organizations before December 15th. And I'm going to give you a link to that so you can find all of the listed organizations. It's, you know, we've had people on over and over again that are talking to us about all of the different problems that people have been going through in the Gulf and in the Gulf Basin. Especially like, you know, the sinkholes, the salt with John there in Bayou Corn. There's just, it's unending, all of the different catastrophes that the Gulf Shores and the Gulf states are going through right now. And this crisis is being systemically ignored by the glossy corporate media. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you, we were talking to somebody the other day, and my sister couldn't believe that this woman had, well, we're at luncheon on the beach over here, and the menu came up, and I said, well, where are, if it's local East Coast, you know, they had fish sliders, mahi-mahi, which is dolphin, not porpoises, but, well, you know, the bull dolphins and dolphin fish that we've mm-hmm. caught and ate down here for a long, long time. They call it mahi-mahi. It's in the Pacific and the Atlantic. Mm-hmm. And she said, well, that's our local catch. And I'm good with the local catch right now. I'm not upset with that. But almost anywhere else, I'm not going to eat the seafood. And she said, well, why? And I said, well, you've heard about Fukushima. And she said, what a? I mean, people do not.
They just don't know, yeah.
People absolutely do not know what's going on out there. It's just stunning, right. Jack. It's
well,
stunning.
You see it briefly on the regular media because they only cover the sensational early stuff. And after a while, they don't get into any depth on it. You know, initially everybody's got it, and then all of a sudden it just disappears, and that's old news, so they don't feature it anymore. And that's a real tragedy because you're being deprived of actual news.
Well, geez, Jack, they didn't even initially have the catastrophe that was going on at Fukushima. They covered the cyclone or the typhoon, and then the onslaught afterwards, and they said there were problems with the nuclear plant, but they didn't go into any detail, and they glossed over it, as you said.
Right, yes, they're expert at that, and it's really a shame. I just wanted to mention, to remind people that I had challenged everybody to go to their offices last week and try and raise some funds for the victims of the Gulf oil spill and other areas that would be affected adversely. And all of those people would be served, of course, by a frontline holiday. And I wonder if anybody would be able to call in a little bit later and bring us up to date as to how their fundraising or their materials raising effort went. So that would be interesting if we could hear from some people out there doing stuff.
I would like to hear that too. I think that Cherie and the people on Facebook at Frontline have heard from some of our a couple of our listeners because I got
great.
That feedback.
That's great.
I don't know how much more we'll get, but I'm open for it, and I'll take the calls as they come in today.
Excellent. That sounds good.
So right now what I'm going to do is, and you'll hear the dial tone because that's how Blog Talk Radio works, I'm going to call mm-hmm. Judith.
Good.
And ask her to come on and just briefly tell us what the environmental catastrophes have been in her area and how they're dealing with it. I mean, she was telling me that they're bringing Texas, what do you call it, XL Pipeline has already been okayed to be brought to Port Arthur. And this is still, you got all these liberals and Democrats out saying, you know, oh, no, President Obama isn't going to okay it. It's being built.
Nothing can hold the oil companies back. They're just going to go ahead and do it, and they don't give a damn about any repercussions. They'll do whatever they can and until they're forcibly stopped, and they won't be forcibly stopped in this administration.
They can't do this without the tacit agreement of the government. It's there for them. There's no getting around it. Obama and that White House has allowed this to happen.
I know. They look the other way, and it's, oh, are they doing that? You know, it's typical. You know, I hate to say it, but it is typical.
Typical. I'm calling now for to get our first guest on, mm-hmm. and our last guest who will call at about 10 to 7, Sherita, the author, she mm-hmm. will be Skyping in, which is the same thing. It'll call
sure.
in. okay, let me see how this goes. Usually it brings up the dial.
There we go.
Hello?
Hi, Judith. This
Hello
is
there.
One.
Hi.
Hi.
Is this Judith?
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Jack. I'm part of the show with Gwen. Gwen's on the line, too. And we were going to talk to you a little bit about what you're experiencing down there in Texas regarding the after effects of some of the oil spills and things like that. So we're anxious to hear your story anytime you can you care to relate what's going on.
Yeah, great. Well, nice talking to you all. Hi, everyone. Gwen, I spoke to you earlier, right? You're on the phone now?
Yes, I am. Judith, why don't you give us a rundown of who you are and where you've been active, what's going on in your territory, and how you're associated with a frontline holiday?
Yeah, so I heard about the frontline holiday from Cherie. This is something that they've been doing for a while now. We did it last year. I got more involved after Christmas, so I got introduced to the frontline holiday last year, actually, which was really a really fun time with the kids coming out, and we had a whole barbecue and had activities for the kids, and even the banned books from the Libro Traficante movement going on here in Texas. So that was really cool, and we're doing it again this year, and we don't know all the details of how we're going to celebrate it, but I look forward to having the kids come and having a whole community gathering.
What group was that, the League of, could you explain that further? Could you give us more explanation there?
Yeah, so the Libro Traficante group, or which one?
Yeah, I just haven't heard of them.
They fight for Mexican American studies, and you know the injustice is going on in the schools with in Arizona. I think that's where it stemmed from. I don't know all the details about them, but some of the people I've worked with, Brian Parras, is really involved with the Libro Traficante movement. So that's been really cool to make it a part of this whole struggle, because, you know, it's all tied together since Manchester is predominantly Latino, so people really know where that's coming from, and it resonates with us. You know, it's our story.
I had heard about them. They've been very. I think it was Amy Goodman and Democracy Now! That I saw stories on them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
they helped organize kids who were in high school who had lined the streets to protest. Am I right? Is that the same? That's the same group, right?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Yes, they were. What they were doing was they were standing up for making, you know, immigration laws, getting them reformed so that illegals who had been here for so long and the children who had been through the school system would get their citizenship. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, those said with like the Dreamers and it's all together, you know, it's one and the same, really. I mean, it's
That's
kind of
amazing.
Like the same struggle.
It's amazing
yeah.
how the activist groups will work together and so easily, isn't it, Jack? I mean, you know, when you see Congress the way it is right now, and you take a look at all the activist groups who just come together, shake hands, and stand together. It's amazing, mm-hmm. isn't it?
Well, there's strength in numbers, and solidarity is the key word, and that's very important to making any movement be successful, is solidarity among its rank and file. and to spread knowledge and to get as many people involved and aware of what's happening at once. And pretty soon you build a groundswell of support, and that cannot be ignored by the powers that be much longer after that point. So that's what all of our gains or our aims are.
Social networks have made it all so very possible. I think it was social networks that brought the kids out into the streets out in Arizona from the schools, isn't it?
Mhm. Yeah, it's great. It's great what it can do. I mean, using it to our advantage to really communicate, you know.
And Judith, if I may ask, how old are you?
I'm 24.
Yeah, I thought you sounded fairly young compared to us old people here. We're a little bit older than you, but that's neither here nor there. We're great to see that. We're glad to see that you're active the way you are, and that you're spreading knowledge and stuff about the movement. You know, as wide as you are, and that's a good thing. Now you're down by Houston, is that right?
Yes, I'm in Houston. Manchester is actually a small community within Houston.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so a lot of people get it confused thinking that it's actually a whole city, but it's a very small community within Houston, which
Sure. It's
funny because Houstonians don't even know where Manchester is some of the time, which is, yeah.
That's incredible. Now, have you been adversely affected by much of the Gulf oil spill? Has that reached over to the Houston area at all, or...?
Well, I'm sure, it's all along the Gulf. I think Galveston and Texas City, Baytown, all the ports are in the communities along the Gulf are being affected. I mean, you know, I don't know if I've probably been directly affected by that because I, you know, go out, buy fish, I eat out, and the fish is all coming from the Gulf. So
yes.
I'm sure, you know, as far what we deal with more is more of along the lines of air pollution and the lack of policies and regulations and all of that.
Yeah, with all the refineries and that, I'm sure you have
right.
a lot of air pollution. Yeah, that's a big issue.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, so Manchester is surrounded, actually, by industry. There's different petrochemical industries, rubber-making facilities, car crushing facilities.
Every once in a while, there's a big fire that we hear about on the news. Well, let me ask you this, if I could, Judith. Are you seeing increased cases of among children, especially respiratory illnesses or cancer or leukemia or anything like that? Are you starting to see an uptick in that sort of thing? Or
yes, for sure. I mean, just recently, my little cousin got diagnosed with asthma, and that was a few weeks ago. And so that's alarming, you know, because I mean, it's almost to be expected that kids here grow up with asthma or respiratory infections or respiratory problems. So it's something that we deal with on an everyday basis. But we did find out that they are already refining the tar sands here not too long ago. So that could be something that has to do with the ailments coming up. There's people here that have cancers and have other issues.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's not surprising, and there's been an alarming rate as well.
Right,
so.
We're sorry to hear that, and we're upset by it as well as you are. Tell me, if you would, what are you doing as an activist to combat this, or to spread the word on it, or what is your role in trying to fight this this occurrence?
Well, definitely raising awareness, you know, educating the community, talking about it. Having these conversations go a long way because there's a lot of people that are still not wanting to get more involved with EJ stuff, like environmental justice issues, not because they don't believe in them, but because they don't have the time. You know, that's the one thing
right.
that we always have to remember is that people living in a community like this have everyday jobs, have everyday struggles within their own families. And
sometimes
you know,
two or three
always,
jobs, and they got to balance
right.
all that and other things, too, and it doesn't leave them any time or any wakeful ability to do anything about it.
Right. So, you know, it's kind of hard to also get the community more involved. than we what we want them to be. But we have a good outcome within the mothers, because the mothers are the ones, you know, the stay-at-home moms usually are the ones that are more active or want to be more active, you know, because they have their children at home or they have young kids that don't go to school yet. But we also have a lot of schools right down the street from refineries, which also is alarming because in Texas we don't have zoning laws, so you know they can build schools right down the street from a refinery, and refineries can continue to expand, you know. So
has anybody ever brought up in conversation with the issues you face there in Manchester, I mean, an alignment to Love Canal? I mean, it's like it's happening all over again, and we're fighting tar sands even coming in, and yet it's already there, and it already sounds like Love Canal, you know, like, oh my gosh, and they're not going to clean it up. They're just going to gloss it over and keep on doing what they're doing, and it seems like that's what's going on already.
Yeah, so they're also, what they're also doing is expanding the ports right now. They're going to be expanding the Panama Canal, so they're also going to be expanding our port. So there's been the organization that I volunteer with is TEJAS, Texas Environmental Justice Advocacy Services. So they're a part of a bigger coalition here in Houston, which is called the Houston Ports Community, or I always forget like what it stands for, but it's a bigger coalition of organizations, local organizations that work on environmental justice and awareness and all that.
Now you say they're so involved in expanding the port. What do you mean by expanding the port exactly?
Well, they're going to begin dredging it, making it bigger, expanding it, bringing in more ships, bigger ships, more exports, more imports. So all of that is going to, Houston is going to get bigger. There's also people, I was told a while back, and I forget where this came from, but they said that Chevron or different industries are relocating workers here to Houston to work on the expanding of the port and the expanding of different industries around Houston. So Houston is about to get really big, and that's another thing that people are very unaware of, that happening. And, you know, Texas is a big oil town, so it's kind of hard to tackle these kind of issues because there isn't a lot of support, or, you know, there's that fear that you're not going to be supported in these issues. So it's taking us a while, but there's a good community here to work on these issues.
Yeah. Now, I had a friend years ago. I haven't been to Houston myself, but I had a friend who was down there for quite a few years, and he mentioned how very sprawling and expansive it was at the time. So, man, it looks like it's really going to turn into a mega city or something, huh?
I guess so, yeah. What TEJAS focuses on, or what we want to do is focus on raising more awareness about that and how we can prepare communities to either organize, fight back, or keep an eye on, you know, these kind of things happening as far as, like, regulations and policies and all of that, you know. Because I've visited the city council many times, and there's other people that I work with, volunteers, that we visited the city council, and all they do is just give us the runaround and tell us that we need to go at this at the state level because the city level isn't going to be doing anything. So obviously, you know, it's a global, it's a international, it's a national issue, not so much as local issue, you know.
It's corporate is what it is. That means can I ask you, has there been any reach out to the oil companies themselves? Have you had any response, or have you tried? Is there any of that going on in the Houston area?
Manchester actually has a civic club And every month they have a civic club meeting where the industry sends their representatives to come out. And really what they do is they just talk about themselves and how wonderful they are and the events that they're holding and things like that, of course. But, you know, I've gone to a couple of those, and I've asked Valero specifically because it's one of the refineries in the community. And I've asked the representatives, you know, what do they feel about relocation? What do they feel about, you know, being more transparent with what happens and how they run their facilities and to let community members know when they're having a flare or they're having any kind of emergency, you know, what is their method of letting us know? And they kind of sugarcoat it. They kind of go around the question and they don't answer directly. Mm-hmm. As far as relocation, they've said that they've helped many people out relocating wise, you know, and it's just not enough because there's many people here who are still waiting for Valero to knock at their door and, you know, give them the good news of relocation. Valero has promised many members here, community members here, that as far as relocating, they've promised them that they would relocate them in like 5 to 10 years, which is that's way overdue. That's another thing that we want to focus on is, you know, with the port expanding and all of that, like there's definitely an urgency to either relocate the whole community or relocate the ones that, you know, are really committed to fighting that and fighting for that.
The reason for relocation is because Valero does so much of what they're doing there, the refinery work that they're doing there is ruining the environment and the health of the community. And so you really, I mean, this is the nuts and bolts of it, correct? They have promised to do their part as community members by actually relocating people. They don't address at all the idea of retooling the way that they work, have they?
Right.
I mean,
I mean, you know, and I've asked that as well, and they've said that Valero is one of the safest refineries to live next to, you know, which that's just kind of absurd, really. But they do their part by updating some kind of like equipment and things like that. But one thing we have to also keep in mind is that these refineries, they have to break the law every day to be able to function, because the way that they refine, the way that they emit all these toxins into the air, which, by the way, we have 8 different cancer-causing carcinogens in the air every day. So, you know, that's also not talking about the cumulative impact that, you know, we have on the environment, because there's not just one refinery within, you know, a certain radius of the community. There's many. There's also, you know, a fertilizer plant outside of the community. There's a petrochemical all over. There's LyondellBasell. There's rubber making plants. So
that's a real garden spot you got going there. I mean, oh my goodness. Has it been the idea of Texans to sort of just shove it all into one neighborhood so that they can pump as much bucks out of it as they can and keep it in one place, taking care of themselves, or what? I that seems incredible that you would have so much together like that, and there would be people actually living in the community too. I mean, that's
Yeah, it's definitely a lot. I mean, that's also why we touch on environmental racism, was because these neighborhoods where these refineries operate are predominantly communities of color. And when we address these issues, it just seems like, you know, it just kind of goes under whatever authority, and it doesn't really get looked at. And you know, say we stay the same. Now, what's really surprising to people when they visit, we've come across different people that come from either South America, Central America, even like out in Asia. They come out, and what Tejas has been doing for many years, they started doing these toxic tours, specifically with the director of Tejas, who would take people out to talk about communities that are being impacted by pollution. And what they would talk about is how close these communities are to refineries and how impactful they are because they are in communities of color. And, you know, they are surprised to see the proximity of the community to these refineries because they would think that this only happens in, like, third world countries, not in America, you know, which is, like, really remarkable because you would think that they would care more about its citizens.
Well, they're concerned mainly with profit. We've discussed that at length here on this program many times.
Right.
And, you know, they're so concerned with that, and they along with that concern, they're also very much engaged in a propaganda battle. They use the media to circulate their own propaganda, which is not always is seldom the truth. And they try to paint a rosy picture on everything when you and I and everybody else that's really involved with it knows that that's complete bunk. And that's the danger.
Sure.
They have access, millions of dollars of access of ads and misleading statements that they put forth. And people get buffaloed by it. They think, oh, there's nothing wrong with the Gulf now. It's all cleaned up and it's doing okay and the food's good. And, I, you know, go on down there and vacation and all this stuff. And it's, you know, it's the sad reality is that it's not that way.
I've friends who I had friends who lived in Galveston for a little while, and he actually worked on some of the rigs as a diver, and they got out of there pretty much as fast as they could because the environment, and this was like 10 years ago, because the environment was so unhealthy for their little kids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The kids came up with, you know, respiratory and skin irritations, and it was just something new every couple of months. So they got out of there.
Well, they did the right thing then, because chances are they saved the children's lives in one aspect or another, or prevented them from getting a further illness like leukemia or some type of cancer. That's a good thing. It's too bad they had to do that, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been to Houston, but I've been, apparently, I haven't been to I've been through some of the areas of refinery there, too. It's not comfortable.
No.
It's a comfortable area. Then there's the gloss of downtown Houston, which makes you think, well, everything must be all right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's another issue, too, you know, like the workers are not always being trained to be able to know what to do in case of an emergency. There was an issue a while back, I think it was like 2 months ago, and I reported it, where there were three explosions happening right after the other, and I called the refinery, I called two different refineries, and I asked, you know, what's going on? Is there an emergency? And this was like in the middle of the night. I'm a vampire, so I sleep in very late. So I'm up at 2 in the morning. This is when it happened. And I call the morning after, and I ask, you know, I just a few hours ago, I heard three different explosions. They were pretty intense. Things fell off my shelf. What's going on? Do we need to be alarmed? And the workers are just really confused about what I'm talking about. And they're like, I don't know what you're talking about. We didn't have any explosions. Nothing's going on. But I heard sirens come in right after the explosion. So there was definitely something going on. Either they were lying to me, the community member, which is already wrong, or they're lying to their workers, you know. And that's another thing, you know. Yeah, right. And then first responders as well, like they also don't always know what to do because they're not being trained properly.
And that's how disasters begin, when enough people don't know, you know,
right.
Anything can happen, and usually bad things. So that's terrible.
Yeah. So we actually went to a chemical security hearing not too long ago in Texas City, where we had there was workers there, steel workers that were part of a union, asking for better regulations, better protection for the workers, and they told their stories and all of that, and they were really nice to me, and they gave me their information, and they're like, a way to communicate with them in case I heard anything else, and they would tell me what's going on.
Well,
so
good.
That was really,
and so your efforts now with Frontline Holiday, you're directing them toward people that have been adversely affected by a lot of these explosions and so forth, or?
Right. Well, I want to connect with them more.
Right.
Because it's a collaborative effort, you know. It's not just community members. It's also the workers that are being impacted.
Oh, sure. Anybody who is impacted, right, right.
Right, right. And so I have family members that work in the industry. One, because, you know, that's a thing to do in Texas.
Oh, yeah.
And two, because that's their choice. So they've actually asked me, you know, what happens if we have an emergency. Sometimes we're not able to get back to our homes, and sometimes when they are impacted or they're exposed to certain chemicals, you know, they just kind of send them home, and then they come home and they have these chemicals in their bodies or in their clothes, and they come home with that, you know. So that also impacts the whole family. So, you know, working together to piece this together to be able to advocate for better policies and better regulations and just better chemical securities are essential to what we're doing, you know, in the work.
Well, we salute you and your efforts in that regard. That's amazing. You're 24, and a lot of people at your age, I'm sure, would be out cruising around and, you know, taking in movies and whatever else, and would ignore that altogether.
Like,
but you're actively involved, and that's great.
Yeah, well, you know, the reason I really got involved was mostly because my family was mostly impacted by all of this, and they don't speak the language. They don't speak English very well.
Oh.
And so it kind of also gave me the responsibility to go out and find out more of what's going on and how they're being impacted.
Yeah.
And so then I just came across all of this, and I just kind of felt responsible for my family and for the community, because a lot of the people here do not speak English, do not speak.
Well,
aren't able to speak out.
That's awesome. We're so happy that you're involved the way you are, and we encourage you to keep it going, because the more people who know, the better off it is for everybody. And you're doing your part, that you're doing the part of many people by being as active as you are, and that's awesome.
Yeah, well, I'm just one little grain in the whole
but there's a hole there out there, and
sure,
the more grains that are like you, the better off we'll all be.
Yes, I mean, that's why I'm involved, and that's why I'm vocal, because we all need to be, you know, we all need to put our input and be a little responsible for,
absolutely,
you know, the little patch that we're taking up in this earth, right?
Absolutely. And we want to pass on a good patch, a better patch later on. We don't want to patch
on
something that's destroyed.
I know, yes. I mean, what are our kids going to inherit, and
exactly,
the younger ones are going to inherit?
Exactly.
So.
Good point. Yeah,
Judith,
well, we salute your activism. It's great.
And Judith, are there any places where people close to you that might hear this can get in touch with you or the groups that you work with? Do you have any information to give us that we can put out here so that folks might get in touch and help out?
Yeah, so there's a website. It's called TejasBarrios.org. So it's TEJAS, Barrios, BARRIOS.org. And that's actually Tejas's website where people can put comments or try to get in touch. We also have a Facebook page on Facebook, which is the same, Tejas Barrios, and people can also comment or message us through there.
Is there somewhere where people can contribute materials or money or anything like that? Any site that people can go to do that?
Yeah, so there's the Frontline Community Holiday Facebook page that Sheree set up. She's she's awesome. She's
incredible.
Love Sheree.
Yeah.
Yes. So there's that. Yeah, I'm sure. And so there's also the TejasBarrios.org website where people can donate. And I think that's probably it. We also work together with Tarsus Blockade. Sometimes they've been down here helping out with our efforts as well. So they also there's also a Facebook page for the Tarsus Blockade.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a website, TarsusBlockade.org. So that's another way to get in touch with Tejas.
The Tarsus Blockade, those folks down there are real guerrilla activists, I'll tell you. I've seen some of the videos on
yes.
how they, I mean, Sheree chains herself to, the gate.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen some of these guys that have actually chain themselves to the actual land movers and stuff and put their arms right there in the track. I mean, that is taking a huge risk, because basically if the company man tells the driver to start it up, he's going to start it up because he figures he can blame the company man for whatever happens after that, and the company man thinks he can blame the company, and that's how terrible accidents and terrible things have happened in the past with activists. They put their body. It's like remembering the picture of the young man in Tiananmen Square standing in front of the tank.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're pretty rad. They focus a lot on direct action, which is, different methods of direct action. I think we need to keep getting creative on what direct action means. So that's definitely a method that's been useful for sure. It's also helped other communities to get more involved and learn more. So yeah, they're great at what they do. And the Keystone XL pipeline is still being proposed, is still getting built. Tar sands are still coming to the refineries. So there needs to be more happening, more awareness, more consciousness around this issue. I wish that more people wanted to just, gather around the whole refineries and literally, stop it themselves, but that's a little too much to ask. But
well, it may come to that someday.
Is our bodies. In fact, the Occupy groups and Popular Resistance with Dr. Flowers and Kevin Sinise and Chris Hedges and folks who've been working more on the East Coast here, I guess, but they work with folks like Bill McGiven what's his name, DeChristopher. It's funny, like we were saying at the beginning, everybody, all of the groups come together without a bit of argument, just to sit down in the middle of the road. You heard about the lady who got arrested in New York for she was in her 80s, got arrested for actually standing and protesting the drones up there, the drone where they were launching the drones from up there. It's amazing what people are willing to do. But like you said, Judith, it's about raising awareness. People just don't know. When you're out in public, even having a conversation, wearing a button or a T-shirt, that somebody is going to notice at the grocery store or the gas station or at Kmart or something. Don't go to Walmart. Don't go there. Don't go to Walmart. But folks will ask a question and you can raise their awareness. I think it's everybody's job who knows to actually go out there and say something in the community. I don't mean you have to go knock people over the head, but if you're wearing a button or a T-shirt, or you're with somebody you know who's absolutely hip to everything, and you guys have a conversation other people can hear standing in line waiting for movie tickets, people listen. And they'll ask the question, what are you talking about? What do you mean? Well, you didn't know that Fukushima, the radiation, was leaking for the last 2 years into the Pacific Ocean? Oh, my goodness, yeah, look it up on the net. Go over to Democracy Now, you know? And this is how people learn to get away from listening to, you know, Brian Williams on NBC or Wolf Blitzer on CNN or any one of the comics that are funding it over at MSNBC. And what they do is they look for the alternative independent media that they can depend might have some of it, or go to Al Jazeera or BBC World News. You're going to, even though they're, you know, they've got a lot of controls on them, not nearly what the corporate lockdown is on American and Canadian news facilities.
Yeah, for sure. And it's about word of mouth, you know, just like teaching ourselves, teaching each other. I think these kind of conversations are had over tea or over beer, you know, or just hanging out with a friend. And so I think those are the most powerful ones.
Yeah, and the more of them, the better.
Right, right. So there's definitely a shift in consciousness, you know, like that we need to also prepare ourselves, because not everybody's ready to, you know, leave the way that they've been living behind, which has been kind of destructive to our environments and, you know, our Mother Earth, which is we're running out of resources. That's why the tar sands are coming up. I mean, it's definitely a desperate need to continue that addiction to oil, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, your relating of this information is very useful to us and very informative to help us understand better what you're facing down in your part of the country and in your community and things like that, Judith. So we're very grateful to you for coming on and relating your story. Is there any statement you'd like to make to whoever might be listening out there, how they might be able to best help you spread the word or help you in some capacity?
Yeah. Well, I mean, first of all, I'm really grateful for y'all reaching out to me and helping me tell our story, you know, and
it's
helping us amplify this need for collaboration. And everyone, you know, just needs to really, I guess, just really stop and think and really realize that the things that we need in our everyday lives, like plastics alone, which we don't really think about where they come from, these refineries are making these plastics and all these chemicals that really are pervading our lives every day, you know, we're being impacted. You know, people might not live down the street from a refinery, but, you know, air travels, rain falls, you have all these GMOs, and you know, the chemicals are in our clothes, are in our the things that we use every day, and I don't think people are conscious of that. They don't really think about where these products come from, you know, and that's something that we need to, like, really stop and think about and think more holistically and begin to heal from something that we've been trained to think that it's okay to do and it's okay to keep using. But, you know, that's why there's so many cancer stories coming out, and everybody's just getting more and more sick out of just using everyday products, like drinking out of a bottle of water, you know, plastic bottle, and just really, it's really just something about just thinking about things, you know, and really thinking about how you can help other communities that are being impacted. We see all these commercials to send money to these third world countries where kids are starving, things like that. But we really don't think that that's actually, like, happening here in America. Mm-hmm. And we deal with a lot of issues here in America, which is really astounding and sometimes surprising to people that, you know, we're not always doing our part as Americans and just human
very
beings.
Very good point. Very good point. And, you know, a lot of us are unaware of it, like you mentioned, because
right.
we're shut out from real news on the media. The media only reports, mm-hmm. You know, sensationalism and the latest, greatest things happening right now, and they don't delve into stuff the way they used to. They don't have investigative mm-hmm. reporting anymore. So you don't get a lot of these things exposed or even talked about. So
right.
that's the reason it's so important for people like yourself to become active and to spread the word the way you're doing. So hats off to you, Judith. You're doing
mm-hmm.
a great job. We appreciate
yes.
your effort.
Thank you. And I mean, sorry, go ahead.
I really wanted to say, Judith, you're talking about how we're working towards changing the consciousness, the paradigm shift that has to come.
Mm-hmm.
It's helpful to remember when you're out there reaching and when you're doing your gig on all of this. It's very helpful to remember that it only takes 3%. Now, there are a lot of people aware, especially in my, quote, community, you know, the metaphysicians, the light workers, that kind of thing. But I'll tell you what, it takes 3% of people who know what they stand for and who are willing to stand up and say so and to walk with it integritously. And you're one of those
right,
folks.
Right.
I just want to reach back and say thank you so much for being out there, for doing that, and for working so well with the rest of us little groups all through the Gulf area that are trying to get the word out about the Southeast and what's going on down here.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, I appreciate you. And I mean, we really need to keep this kind of media alive as well, because, you know, like you said, these things aren't being communicated to us, you know,
right.
the mainstream media has taken over. And so
right.
I think that I'm just really appreciative of y'all and blogs like this and media like this that really
right.
gets shared. And,
well,
and also
spread
we,
the word about us too, and we'll
yeah
for you as well. And you know, one by one, we'll add up to more than one little grain here and there. We'll add up to a clump, and then a big rock, and then pretty soon we'll have the whole beach.
Yeah, it's time.
Okay. Well, great, Judith.
I would like to right now. We've got our second guest for today is with us. Sharita, can you hear me? Are you 5x5 out there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, hi. Sharita, hi. How are you?
Hi.
Hi, how are you? I wasn't sure. I had to use my backup of my cell. My internet's not functioning properly right now, so I'm going to try to call in through Skype because the sound quality is a little better. But
well, it sounds pretty good right now.
If you can hear me, we'll continue through this avenue.
I can hear you. This is. I'd like to introduce. This is the author Sharita, and she's written a really wonderful book. I'm having a great time with it. It's called. It's all in the name, right?
Yes, the title. Yes, it is.
And tell us a little something about that, and the reason before Sharita tells us about what she does. She does wonderful stuff to wake people up. I would just like folks to know that the whole idea of understanding that everything is connected and bonded, that the universe is a warp and a woof or a breath that goes on with all of us. It's great to understand it because of Sharita brings it up through our names, the quality of our names, so much more, the numerology and the astrology and all that. But what's in a name is very surprising. So I'm just going to give you that little segue. And I had asked Sharita if, because we lost Nelson Mandela this week, I asked her if she would bring us something about that. So go with it, Sharita. take it over.
All righty. Well, and I thank you so much again for having me back. It's a pleasure to be back on your show. And, well, what I do is, you know, I do a little bit of life coaching, but I do it through a very spiritual means. So I guess you could coin me a spiritual life coach. I utilize the tools of astrology, numerology, and lexigrams to empower your life, to increase your results, so you can ease some and reduce some of that stress that goes on and really feel empowered with why you came here, what your purpose is all about. And what I've discovered through my endless research over the years is that it is our very name and birthday that hold the keys to all of our success. The wisdom through this understanding of astrology, numerology, and lexigrams, which examines the data that your birthday and name unfold, then this is how you've got it. You've already got what it takes to look at everything. You just got to know how to unlock the door, so to speak. So what we do with the lexigrams and what the focus of the book is, you know, many listeners probably know what astrology and numerology is, but nobody's heard of a lexigram. What in the world's a lexigram? It's the concept of taking any word, name, or title and going through the process of anagramming it. So basically, an anagram is spelling another word using the letters contained within an original word. And then the art form or the spiritual practice of lexigrams is taking those anagrams and phrasing them like poetry or prose so that it, in essence, uncannily enough, spells out the truth. Some simple examples would be, the word truth. Let's just start right there. A lot of people don't like the truth. Why? Because it hurts. You can spell the word hurt within truth. How do you evolve on this planet? Well, that's encoded in hiding within the word evolve. You have to love. It doesn't happen through hate. It happens through the action of love. Go ahead.
No, I was just commenting. There you go. That's the truth.
There's the truth. even looking at a word like health. You know, and I mean, everybody is concerned about their health these days, or they're in a weird state of health, maybe not the best state of health. You know, what we do to achieve a state of health has so much to do with our emotions, what we're feeling, you know, the actions, the action in our life, what we're projecting out there. So a little interesting clue within the word health, how do we achieve it? We have to heal the hate. We have to let the hate heal. That's how we really achieve true health. It's all about the emotions in the end. And what we're feeling, what we're saying, what we're believing, what we're thinking. That's all relating to what that state of health is and what is that all about. One of my favorite ones is the word gratitude, which is something anybody should do in any each and every day they wake up and throughout it and before they go to bed every night is express that great true attitude of gratitude. That's all in there.
Mm-hmm.
Within the word gratitude. Patience, I tap in an ancient peace pace. So these are how lexigrams work with some simple words. And when we get to names, titles, the story gets a little more interesting about what's really in a name. You really have this ability, and why this happens, I'm not really sure. I learned how to lexigram from Linda Goodman, and many people know Linda Goodman. She was the first astrologer to ever become truly popular. She was the first astrologer that had the first bestseller on the New York Times list back in the late 60s, early 70s, and it was in her book Star Signs where I learned how to do this fusion of the astrology, the numerology, and these lexigrams all together. And what she put together with understanding how all that works is nothing short of stunning and has done nothing but fascinate my entire life ever since I learned about how this works. So we're going to go with some names. And I know Gwendolyn asked that we remember Nelson Mandela. So here's a really, really wonderful example of how lexigrams work with a name. Now, of course, Nelson was born the 18th of July in 1918. Here's where you're going to see a little bit of the fusion about how the astrology and the numerology are just also tied into what the lexigrams are about. Oftentimes, we can get our numerological and astro info will be revealed in our names in that story that gets to be spelled out in the truth. So he's born to the 18th. I'll explain a little numerology on that. The 18th of the month, when you add that 1 and 8 together, you'll arrive at the root of 9. So anybody born to the 9th, to the 18th, to the 27th of any given month, they would be considered a 9 on their karmic path. They'll have a higher vibration of it being an 18 or a 27 versus the 9th of any given month, but it is just the 9 itself that is what their planetary. We're going to get into the planets of that. So Nelson is a 9. He was a Cancer sun, being born to the 18th of July. So here we go. Now, what I'm going to be doing next is taking the anagrams that I am going to spell out of his name, and I'm going to phrase all these into sentences, pretty much, or like poetry or prose. Sometimes it's not like a complete grammatically correct sentence. English teachers will not like lexigrams all the time, but so Nelson, and I don't know if anybody else pronounced his name properly because I'm not African and I'm not really sure how to pronounce it, but I'm going to do my best. So Nelson Rolihlahla Mandela is his full name.
Right.
Nelson is a real 9. That was a handsome man. Nelson is a real leader here in a healer role. Nelson is here as he mends a man's needs. Nelson sees drummers as he leads rallies as he is held indoors inside on an island. He is admired in real honors as he holds harmony. He is seen in headlines as a real solid leader. Nelson ordains as he leads in a real reason. Nelson ends a real mean era in his homeland. Nelson is seen as a real hero in his homeland. And Nelson, in his end, is seen in a real heroism.
Ooh.
All of that comes out of his name. And, I mean, I just touched upon, you know, there's other things there, you know, that, you know, we know he had a kind of a troubled start in the beginning, but he ended up, you know, really achieving quite the humanitarian things by the end of it. But, you know, there was a little mixed view in there about him earlier in his career. And, you know, if you know any, when we look at the 9 as a karmic path, it represents via what the Chaldeans understood as spiritual material conflict, which really means if you do not choose the spiritual way, the materialism will kind of kill you. that's what all 18, you know, anybody born on the 18th of any given month, or let's say that's your name expression, which is also looking at the value of what your name in particular vibrates to. Every letter in the alphabet has a number attached to it. And the Chaldean way of doing it is different from a Western numerologist. I do my practice of numerology deals with the Chaldeans' way of understanding it. And the way that they depicted it is that instead of the Western numerology, or the Pythagorean way, I like to call it, is that they take A to Z and they go 1 to 9. They go 1 to 26. So you're going to get a loop of 9 a couple of times before, you know, you get to the 26th letter of the alphabet, which would be Z, which would hold a value of 8. But the Chaldeans noted something very particular about sound, and they said, there's only 8 natural notes on a musical scale. There's no way sound, there's no 9th vibration naturally. It's only 8. It can be variants of the 8, but there's only 8 natural. So they eliminate matching a letter up with the 9. You can have a name add up to 9, but there's not a letter in their alphabet from A to Z that holds a 9 value. So you're going to get a very different calculation from the Chaldean way of understanding your name through its name expression than you are through looking at it the Western way. So Chaldeans really valued these karmic mysteries in their lives when it came to any number 10 and up. They're called the Chaldean karmic mysteries. So that was something, you know, very strong about Nelson, is that he had this element of spiritual material conflict that was his kind of his key to unlock in his lifetime through understanding what that karmic path is about. And that any, whatever day of the month we choose to be born on represents our karmic path. Numerology is very extensive in all the different layers and facets of information it provides, but your day of the month is, in essence, I'd like to call it your numerical sun sign. This is the immediate energy from the numbers perspective that blends and gels with who you are as a Cancer. Who you are as the sun sign, which in Nils's case, he was the Cancer. So the 18 and the Cancer were what you looked at as this is what you got with his talents, his abilities, his purpose. What was he meant to be good at? Well, he was meant to be good at leadership. Absolutely. And his name backed that up. You could spell the word real leader out of his name. So,
Fascinating. Incredible.
That was a mouthful. I'm sorry. I didn't let you get her.
No, that was very very revealing and very good.
Jack, why don't you give Sharita your birthday?
It's November 27th. So I must be a 9 as well.
I'm so pleased that you understand that from what I said. Thank you.
Right.
Awesome. Yes, you are a 9. Now, you're a very different understanding of the 9 than what the 18 represents. You're the scepter. If you could think of the guy with the Olympic torch, that's you.
Yeah.
What's that? No, a guy that what?
If you could think of the guy with the Olympic torch.
Oh, yeah.
That's you.
Oh.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Just hold that vision, because that's you. You're like running with your endless flame your entire life, and you just keep, you know, bopping it around all over the planet. You still have to understand the same principles that go behind, you know, what happens with being a 9, which, you know, when you look to the 9, you're looking at Mars. And Mars, and the reason why, and also to give a little more insight into why astrology and numerology can be looked at side by side, is that the thing that binds them together is that they're guided by the same planet. Mm-hmm. So whether you're looking at a sun sign or you're looking at a number, you're looking at a planet. So you're going to be looking at the energy and the archetype of what that planet represents from upstairs, you know. Mm-hmm. So with 9, you're always looking at Mars, whether you're the 9th, the 18th, 27th, or you're looking at Mars if you're an Aries as well. Mm-hmm. And Mars is a little bitey, I like to say. You know, Mars ain't going to back down. He's the pioneer. A little bit of tell it like it is. But under the 9 energy, likes to get things done. So you're a person that is a finisher in life. You know, you really like to get things finished.
Mm-hmm.
Got to watch a lot of sugar because everything goes...
I'm diabetic.
Everything goes to the head with a 9 because that's the part of the body that it's ruled by, and you don't want too much sugar in a 9 diet, especially alcohol, because it gets converted to sugar right away. They don't handle alcohol well, and, you know, Mars being also the planet guiding the 9 or the Aries, it's the planet of aggression. So, you know, when you add, like, you add alcohol to that, you're going to get more of that feistiness. So there's the aggression, the penetration, that, you know, just conflict. Sometimes, you know, 9s walk around angry their whole life, depending on, you know, what that emotional state is. But ultimately, the 9 is meant to be courageous.
Mm-hmm.
And if conflict comes at them, which more often than not it does, but they're meant to, like, kind of curtail it and rise up in their courage, be the warrior. And if you know anything about true warriorism, you do not fight as the warrior. You will stand up for what's right, defend the underdog, but you're not going to be mean about it. Mm-hmm. You're going to use it very wise, very diligently, very, you know, very patiently.
Okay.
You actually turn the energy of that dynamic energy. I mean, you're motivated to get so much stuff done, and, you know, Mars is a planet that takes action. It's not like you'll ever sit around in your laurels, but there's a way that you'll go about it. Now, of course, you're also a Sagittarius, being born to the 27th
right.
of November. So you're mm-hmm. on fire. I mean, you're a mutable fire sign for you that's communicator supreme. I mean, no wonder why you're on the radio. And you're very concerned about what's going on in this world.
Mm-hmm.
Let's spread the truth around. I mean, you are definitely a person. Nobody could lie to you if they tried. I mean, good luck getting one past you because it ain't going to happen. And back to that 27, you know, the 27 has this, with their Chaldean karmic mystery, they are just so asked, keep going. No matter what opposition ever shows up, your original ideas are going to pay off. They're going to come through. It may take you a little longer than normal
mm-hmm.
or than the average person, but they're going to happen. Just keep mm-hmm. going. But kill them with kindness when you have to tell them to, oh, you know what? I'm sorry. You don't like my idea. Have a nice day. Okay, next.
What about my name, J-A-C-K? What does that represent?
J-A-C-K as far as
yes.
Jack,
yes.
as a first name expression. Mm-hmm. Well, as a first name expression, you don't get a lot out of there. I would need, what I do with the lexigrams is I take your full name at birth.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, well, I'll give you my real name. John, it's J-O-H-N, Anthony Jodell.
Okay, hold on, Jackie. Here's the deal with me with the lexigrams, though.
Okay.
I have to sit and meditate. I have to sit and meditate on your name before I really don't do lexigrams on the spot because it takes time.
I understand.
For pure accuracy and fairness
sure.
to you, yeah.
Okay.
Every so often I can see things quickly, but I'd like to take my time with that.
Sure.
Now,
dear.
Your day and month of birth is a totally different ballgame. So I'll tell you your current personal year cycle, though, because that's some quick math for me.
Mm-hmm.
So 11 and 27, you just turned into, I believe you're in your year of harvest. Yes, you're now in your eighth personal year. So you can go back 7 years ago is when you saw this cycle of new beginnings happen
mm-hmm.
in your life. The year prior to that, technically 8 years ago, was when you saw things end, conclude, finalize. All of that closed off your last 9 years span of time, and then you began this new one that now you're ready to receive your recognition, your harvest, and your reward from.
Okay.
So things are all over the next, you know, because your birthday is started a week ago or so. And, you know, you start your numerical New Year cycle every year on your birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're one of those examples where by all definitive formulas of math, your birthday, you can't celebrate your birthday. There's a lot of, this is where, you know, there's a lot of numerologists there that stand divided in when do our personal year cycles start? And here's the deal. You were born in November.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
So, and whatever year that was. So, you know, you went through that last couple days of November, and then you lived in December when you were a baby, right? And then you went into
mm-hmm.
January next year. Well, a Western numerologist will look at it in the sense of, or the Pythagorean way of looking at things. They'll say, oh, well, you were like a month and a few days old, and you went into a brand new personal year cycle. Well, that's seemingly impossible. We have to wait all the way till you get to the next, till your first Saturn return when you turn, your first solar return, which is your birthday every year, and solar is the sun. And that's when the mass lines up on the calendar every year to tell
mm-hmm.
us what's the current personal year. So this is the year now for the next 12 months, or 11 and a quarter, however
yeah,
we
whatever.
Left that,
mm-hmm.
That you're going to be receiving your harvest and reward for everything that you've been doing in the last 7 years.
Oh.
Jack. Tell Sharita what you always say as a sign off.
I say, remember everybody to keep pushing forward.
Yeah, what you got to do. Because you know what? Everything's always moving forward. And we're all here in the now experiencing our moments of time, but everything is always moving forward. You know? There's no stopping. I haven't gotten off the time train yet. You know, it's still here. We just keep going. Moment
yeah.
to moment to moment to moment. It's kind
Judith,
of fascinating. But.
Judith, are you still with us here?
Yeah, hi, I'm still here.
Oh, hi.
Yeah,
this is interesting.
Would you like to tell Sharita what your birthday is?
Sure. My birthday is January 9th, 1989.
Aha, we have a Capricorn. We have another nine on the show. We have two nines hanging out together. I'm not surprised that you are the pioneers doing the things that you are doing. And then, of course, innovator, Gwendolyn, because she's a four. So she's, you know... She's just, you know, doing the humanitarian thing, too. But January 9th, Judith, it's Judith, right?
Yeah.
Yes, okay. Let me make sure I'm pronouncing
it. Judith with a Y.
Got it. So, well, that's interesting because you and Jack, now you are just about done. I mean, you've got a few weeks left. This has been kind of like your inner work year. Where you're mm-hmm. at with that current 9-year span of time. You've been in that 7-year, which is something that Jack actually just completed. He's popping
yeah.
into his new year a little earlier than you, just by, a little over the span of a month's time. But equally, next year, you're doing the same thing that Jack just started. You're going to be reaping your harvest and your reward for everything that you started 7 years ago. When you look at January. Yeah. And would that make sense to you that 7 years ago you had a lot of new beginnings in your life and you planted new seeds and then 8 years ago things were ending, completing things? They were very pivotal years where you saw things making space for what showed up new.
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you're also, like, you're an ultimate leader because Capricorn is one of our leadership signs. You're definitely meant to be teaching and leading through the experience of what needs to be stable, how do we do things more patiently, you know, what really needs to be done with tradition. You share Kate Middleton's birthday, actually. Who is
Prince
Williams' betrothed. Yes, you two share the same birthday. So,
cool.
And I think she certainly is going to be receiving a little harvest and reward this year, showing up after taking some time off to have a baby.
Awesome.
But that is definitely what, I mean, you're a hard worker. I mean, you don't stop. You really don't have enough fun in your life, probably, because you really got more work to do than you think you have to have fun. Does that
yeah.
make sense?
No, yeah. Story of my life.
Yeah.
I always feel like I have something to do.
Yes, and as a Capricorn, you know, with in combination with that nine energy, I mean, you're like just, always on a mission to do something. I mean, you know, it's like it's the next work mission after the next work mission that just keeps, like, you know, driving you. And you'll never lose that energy. And both of you actually, through that understanding of just the nine, even through being the Sagittarius or being the Capricorn, that nine will drive you, God, for, you know, till the very last. You won't give up, and you don't give up easily.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm.
Unless when you're done, you're done, however. You know, when somebody's kind of crossed your path in such a way that you're like, all right, you know what, I don't have to tolerate that.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're done, you're done, you're rare to go back.
Yeah.
And do it again. And, oh, yeah, okay, well, let's see if we can figure something different out. No. When you're done, you're done. And like I say, next, and that's how you go. You're a very old soul, Judith. People who were born on the singular days of the month have no Chaldean karmic mystery on their karmic path. They're just pure energy of what that planet's representing through that number, which is the courage, the conflict, the penetration, the aggression, you know, like just the, oh, we're going to go. That's it. You didn't get the karmic mystery. You do have them in other places in your numbers chart, but because everything will determine that. But just on that karmic path, you're just good old soul energy at nine. So, excuse me. You've been around the karmic block a little bit.
I've been around the karmic... Oh, wow. Yeah, I've been told I'm an old, I'm like an old soul.
Both of you are flowing. I like to say you flow in time together. So you and Jack have a lot of good. You and Jack could accomplish great things together in the year ahead because your forecast, at least via numbers, completely aligns.
Oh, great!
Cool.
It aligns with the year. We can break it down to the month, and we can break it even down to the day. There's a fun little way that when we get into our forecast, we can really start to see very intimate details of how to follow a plan for our lives that actually is in sync with what we're supposed to be doing and, you know, maybe not what the media. And I wasn't able to get on the show in the beginning, so I wish I had some clues into how your conversation was totally going the whole time. But my internet wasn't really functioning very well before. I'm on my cell phone.
The show, Sharita, today we've been talking about what we're doing is through all this month till a week before the week of Christmas, we're highlighting Gulf families and Gulf stories concerning the environmental injustices that have been going on. Judith is an activist. In Manchester, is a community in Houston, Texas. And she's been telling us all about what she has been doing in her community to make things better for and bring the awareness up as to what's going on. I mean, they got tar sands already coming through Texas. The show has been mainly about her work in bringing up awareness and in the activism. You know what, Judith? You would tell her better than I am right now. I'm sorry. boom. There.
Yeah.
That kind of gets the gist across there, I guess. But
yeah.
Go ahead.
No, yeah, you did. That was the gist of it. So it's basically the efforts that my community some of the members here and the organization that I volunteer with, Tejas, Texas Environmental Justice Advocacy Services, what we advocate for as far as like change or policies or regulations to better protect community members or just all around people that from the impacts of the petrochemical industry and just industry in general along the Gulf and in Texas and specifically in the Manchester community here in Houston, which is surrounded by industry and pollution and all of that. So, yeah, Gwen pretty much explained it, and I've been really busy. It's kind of a curse and a blessing to be a hard worker because sometimes I just don't know when to stop, but I've just been really busy and yeah,
you know,
there's always something to do.
Yeah, it is no surprise, but you are the perfect person to get the job done, and that is a job that does need to be done with all of the effects that are coming off of that. I know Gwendolyn was curious. Did you want me to talk about the lexigrams related to this?
I certainly would. I'd love to hear that. I'm really curious what you came up with.
So when I had written my book that spring before it got sent to press, as they say, in the summertime, the BP thing had happened. So I don't know. I remember it was like a last minute thing. I thought, we have to put this in the book. We have to put this in the book. They had had the manuscript for a while, and I was like, no, we have to put this in here. Even with our name, so, you know, we did the example of, like, Nelson's name, and so what happens is with companies' names, the same concept applies. There's a name expression to the to the title of the company, the name of the company, whatever it's named. The numerology will work in the same fashion. Typically, companies have a date of initiation, so they have a birth chart like a person does. So the same thing, whether it's a business or a person, you can take the same tools and throw it all in there. So I got into when the BP thing happened. It's like I have to look at the name of that. I have to look at the name of that company. So of course I did a little research. And, you know, their name went through different like kind of levels and renaming over the years. But you know, BP stands for British Petroleum Company. And originally it was the Anglo-Persian Oil Company from April 14th, and that was 1909. But it was in 1954 it became the British Petroleum Company via its legal name and what was guiding it. So, unfortunately, when I got into these electrograms, I didn't like anything that they told me, but it was still telling me the truth. So here's the story that comes out of British Petroleum Company. Set to race to a top motor oil spot, it earns the best top money years and years, then to lose their spot. Yes, it is set to see the top most treacherous, terrible oil problem in history that spill on the USA shore in April, year 010. The oil problems start 1 mile beneath the sea. BP orients in no spirit, morality, nor humanity, only money ambition. As the oil spills on, soon BP is in a money crisis and ruins. This problem hurts our earth, our heart, our core. It hurts the earth's heart more than any other oil situation has, as our trust in BP is put to a stop. But it is certain in time the earth can heal its hurt. The people's hearts must hope and pray to reroute their mope. Yes, people, you can hate BP, but you must be in action to heal this spoil. Humans, please hear, you are to stop oil use to heal. Humans, yes, you can use the other clean resource in nature. People, please unite as it is your historic, triumphant time to clean up your relationship to the earth. There is a real, true resolution to this terrible oil problem. Yes, 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 you can use no more oil as you heal your planet, Mother Earth. Time is might, humans, so treat the earth in spiritual rituals as your ancient ancestors. To heal it best, let nature triumph.
Wow, that's
very
lot.
Good.
That's a mouthful, again, but this is how names are powerful, and they have a story.
We've only got like 2 minutes left here. Sherita, how can people find you?
I am on the web. You'll find all the links to social media. It's all on SheritaStar.com. SHARITASTAR.com. Book, all of it's on there. Have fun. Join my mailing list.
Well, thank you, Sherita.
Thank you.
Thank you guys very much, and wishing you guys a very happy holiday.
Yeah, and
Merry Christmas. And all the Happy New Year stuff.
Yeah.
Sherita, thank you so much. I hope you'll come back with us again. This is fun. This is good stuff.
You just let me know and name the topic, and I'll be there.
Great. Judith, thank you so much for being with us.
Yeah.
I want to remind everybody to go on over to Facebook and look up A Frontline Holiday. Send some money, whatever you can, to these families down here in the Gulf, and toys for kids. And remember, if you write a little note of encouragement, it means so much. And Jack, will you sign us off?
Everybody, keep pushing forward. We're going to get there yet. That's the whole idea. So let's keep on going.
Great. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. And we'll look forward to speaking with all of you again very soon, we hope. And in the meantime, best wishes to everybody. And we'll listen to Gwen and myself and whoever's our guest next Sunday. Same time, same place.
Great.
Have a great week, everybody.
Have a great week. Bye. Thanks, Sherita. Thank you, Judith. Good night, Jack.
Yep, good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone. Thank you.
Yep, bye-bye.
Good night. Thank you, Sherita. Bye.
Thank you, Judith. It's a pleasure to meet you. Okay.
You too.
All of you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Good night.